Space scientists live in fear of losing an astronaut in orbit. Alone in a capsule, it could be the loneliest, most hopeless death of all. I'll return in a moment with the amazing facts about life without hope. Hello, this is Joe Cruz and the Amazing Facts broadcast, facts which affect you. You know, friends, when there is hope, there's also a chance. Only after the final door of possible help has been closed does a person give up hope. And then, of course, death comes quickly because there's no will or desire from which to draw strength. Fearful though it seems to face a hopeless problem in the physical world, it's much more terrible to lose all hope spiritually. When the door closes on the last chance for eternal life, the prospects are too terrible to describe. I read from Isaiah 55, 6 and 7 today. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he's near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Now here the Lord gives us a very, very strong inference that's borne out in other parts of the Bible. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Now, the inference is that one of these days he'll be a long ways away, so far that one seeking for him then will not be able to find him. The time is coming when it'll do no good to make an effort to get in touch with God. That's a time we often refer to as the close of probation. As Jesus says in Matthew 24:44, therefore be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not the Son of Man cometh. Now, we do not know what hour it may be that probation will close, friend. Amos 4:12 gives a solemn warning to every Christian. I believe it's a message that needs to be sounded in every part of the land. Thus will I do unto thee, O Israel, and because I will do this unto thee, prepare to meet thy God, O Israel. You know, it's so easy for us to fit into the modern picture today when everyone's trying to find something that will entertain, something that will satisfy, something that will tickle the fancy. But the message that needs to be sounded today is a warning message, a message that will stir our hearts. Prepare to meet thy God, O Israel. Now, this is speaking to church members, you see, those who call themselves Israel or God's people. Amos 5:18 says, woe unto you that desire the day of the Lord. To what end is it for you? The day of the Lord is darkness and not light. Now, here again we find that God is speaking to his people. The subject today is addressed to Christian people, and it warns that when the Lord does come, it will mean darkness in the lives of many individuals. I know that today many Christians are praying, thy kingdom come and hasten thy coming. But when it does come, it'll be a day of doom if we've not lived up to the light we have, friends. Many will be disappointed because they've trusted in themselves and have not made a heart preparation. Now, does probation close for everybody at the same time? This is a good question. Let me read Isaiah 38:18. For the grave cannot praise thee, death cannot celebrate thee, they that go down into the pit cannot hope for thy truth. Now, other parts of the Bible bear out the same thought that when a man dies, his probation is sealed. His doom is settled, if doom it might be. Never will he be given another opportunity. Now is the accepted time, the Bible says, and today is the day of salvation. Sudden death has cheated many a soul out of eternal life. Now, there's another way by which individuals end their probation, and that's described in Ephesians 4, verse 30. Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Now, many people are ending their probation by grieving the Spirit of God. Not suddenly, of course, but gradually. Little by little, they turn from the Spirit of God until the Spirit no longer pleads with their hearts. They come to the place where they say, I will go no further. And they close their own probation. Proverbs 1:24-28 speaks of this day and tells us how we can avoid it. Because I have called and ye refused, I have stretched out my hand and no man regarded. For a long time, the Lord says, I call, but you wouldn't hear. My spirit has been striving with you, but you refused. And then the verse in Proverbs continues, but ye have set at naught all my counsel and would none of my reproof. I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh, when your fear cometh as desolation, and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind. When distress and anguish cometh upon you, Then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. I want to ask you something, friend. If the Lord should come in person and stand by your bedside and say, tonight this verse is going to apply in your heart. Tonight's the last time I'm ever going to call you. If you don't heed tonight, I'll not be able to help you when your calamity comes. Because I've called and you refused, I've stretched out my hand and nobody regarded, but you've set it not all my counsel and would have none of my reproof. When your fear comes as desolation and your destruction comes as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish come on you, then shall they call on me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. Oh, I'm thankful, friends, that we can still call upon God and we can still find Him today. Now, this experience is also described in Genesis 6, verse 3, where the Lord says, my spirit shall not always strive with man. Now, here's a good question. How many chances does God offer us? A man goes along persisting in sin. The Spirit of God pleads with him, but he continues to harden his heart until finally the time comes when the Spirit is no longer heard. At that time, his probation is closed. That person may not know when he has passed that unseen line, but his probation has been sealed forever. God says, grieve not the Spirit of God. Now, we have an example of the Spirit of God being grieved until he left an individual in the case of Saul. Saul started out in life a good man, a Christian, but as he went on through life, he turned from the Lord and would not heed his voice as that voice spoke to him through the Holy Spirit. He thought it didn't make any difference whether or not he did what God said. He was one of those Christians who believe that God is not very particular. Well, Saul kept going in that way until it finally came to the place where God would not hear him anymore. And when he asked of God, it was not from a sincere, surrendered heart. He prayed not because he wanted contact with heaven, but because he wanted to find out something. God shut up every avenue of approach that Saul might have, for he had sealed his own destiny. He had closed his own probation. Saul did not commit black, grievous sins like David. Oh, David's record was so black, but David repented in deep sorrow and turned from his sins. With Saul, it was a matter of going on in small things until he persuaded himself that it really didn't matter. He did not repent, for he didn't feel that he was doing anything very wrong. And then God couldn't hear him anymore. There is danger today, friends, great danger that our hearts will be touched. And then that we keep on putting off surrender of our sins and our past until our hearts become hardened and we don't even feel our need of repentance. And that is the saddest condition that comes into a person's life. When one comes to a place where he feels no need of repentance, does not see the wrong in the sin that he's doing, I say that's a condition most to be feared in the life of any individual. A difference is noticed in the life of a person when the Holy Spirit is speaking to his heart. In fact, one of two things always happens. You see one individual with whom the Spirit is striving and his heart softens and keeps growing softer and softer. But with another, his heart hardens and gets harder until it turns to stone. I think of it this way. I take some nice clay and mold it into the form of a roll of butter. And with it, I take a pound of butter and I place them both out in the warm sun. I watch them for a time and I see the butter begin to melt. It grows softer and softer and finally is entirely melted. The clay, just as soft as the butter to begin with, begins to harden. It grows harder and harder until it's like stone, yet the same sun shined on both of them. The Spirit of God shining on some hearts causes them to harden if they'll not heed the pleadings of the Spirit, while others melt under the influence of the same Spirit. Now, what about the close of probation, friends, the mass close, I mean, for everybody? When does that happen? Over in Matthew 25, Jesus pointed forward to that time. In Matthew 24, you know, tells how we may know when His coming is near. It gives the great signs. But some people never notice that Matthew 25 always follows Matthew 24. And in the 25th chapter, Jesus goes right on and tells of the close of probation. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps, and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, Behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, Give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. But the wise answered, saying, Not so, lest there be not enough for us and you. But go ye rather to them that sell, and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came. And they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterward came also the other virgins, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, Verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. Now, friends, here we have the story of the close of probation, when midnight came and probation was forever closed. Now, that was a scene of an Oriental wedding. We see Jesus out on a little hillside with just a little valley between him and the city of Jerusalem. Off to one side, they see a lighted dwelling where the bride is waiting for the bridegroom. Outside, there are people also waiting for the bridegroom to come, for he will come from his home to take the bride from her place back with him, and there the ceremony will be performed. So the guests wait to join the procession. As Jesus looks over at that scene, he says to his disciples, See those people waiting for that wedding? That's like my coming will be. And then he tells them the story of a wedding. There were 10 virgins waiting for the bridegroom to come. 5 were wise, 5 were foolish. When the bridegroom and his procession would come along, they were ready to join and go back to the groom's house where they'd take part in the wedding ceremony. But 5 were foolish, friends. Now, what was it that made them foolish? It says, They that were foolish took no oil with them. Now, they were all virgins, signifying that they were all church members. Their names were on the books. They had all accepted Christ. They were all preparing to be a part of the wedding procession and to join in the ceremony. They all looked alike. They were dressed alike. You couldn't tell them apart by looking at them. 5 of them didn't look any wiser than the others. They all had lights and they all had some oil, but you couldn't see how much oil they had. So today, you can't separate Christians and the church. But listen, friends, each one of them knows how much oil they need and how much they have. Now, those virgins, 5 of them, knew that they didn't have any extra oil with them. There was no fault that you could find with their looks. But when the time came to buy oil, they did not take advantage of it, and 5 had no extra oil with them. Psalms 119, 105 says, Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my pathway. So Jesus said 5 of the virgins had no extra oil in their lamps. That represents the Holy Spirit. And so they were left out because they had to rush to get oil, and they did not have time to come back and go into the wedding feast. And now, this is Joe Cruz saying goodbye for today.